Let's turn in our Bibles now to John chapter 15. Gospel according to John chapter 15. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. John 15, verses 1 through 11. John 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's also turn to Ephesians chapter 2. As I mentioned, we'll be considering this morning from the Heidelberg Catechism the truth of the Word of God concerning faith. What is true faith? And the passage that we read in John 15 teaches us concerning faith. So does Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. So let's read that as well. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's on the basis of those passages of the Word of God, as well as many other portions of Scripture, that we are instructed in Lord's Day 7 concerning faith. Remember that Lord's Day 6 mentioned to us our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the mediator that we need and that he alone can save. And that leads to the first question that is asked here in Lord's Day 7. Question 20. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? The question arises out of the truth that everyone died in Adam. Everyone became totally depraved in Adam. Now we have learned that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. And the question is, does he save all men? Is he the Savior of all? And the answer is no. Only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. And then question 21, what is true faith? Answer, true faith is not only a certain knowledge or a sure knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given by God merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? all things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. And then what are those articles? And then the Catechism gives us the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. The Apostles' Creed, which is a summary of what we believe and what, according to question 22, is necessary for us to believe. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As I noted, beloved in Christ, the question is, whom does the Lord Jesus Christ save? Is He the Savior of all men? Does He save everyone? And that question is important for especially three reasons. The question is first of all important from a doctrinal point of view, from the point of view of the truth of the Word of God that we believe and confess. And that's because there are those who say He does save all men. The answer of universalism. If you ask them the question, does Jesus Christ save all men? Is everyone who perished in Adam saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? They will say, yes, yes, all men are saved. So that when everything is said and done, when world history has come to an end, when earthly life and all that is involved in earthly life is concluded, everyone will be in heaven. Every single person that ever was born and that ever existed in this life. That's a heresy. That's a serious error that denies the truth of the Word of God. There's also, of course, the error of Arminianism. The error of Arminianism, which says, in answer to the question, does Jesus Christ save everyone? They will say, no, He doesn't save everyone, but He wants to. That's His desire. He died for everyone. They will say that. And that, of course, is wrong. And then they will say, and now He wants to save everyone in the world. Everyone that has ever existed. And that will happen if you want Him to save you and if you let Him save you. That's the error of Arminianism. So we must know the truth in answer to this question very well, very clearly, so that we can defend that truth against these errors, the error of universalism and the error of Arminianism, but then also so that as we understand the truth of the Word of God, as the Lord gives us opportunity in life, we can explain the truth to those who hold to these errors and show them what the Word of God really teaches concerning whom the Lord Jesus Christ saves, and lead them by the grace of God to a right understanding of God's Word and of the work of Jesus Christ. We need to know the answer to this question. Does Jesus Christ save everyone? And secondly, this question is important for the sake of the Church. think you could understand this, beloved, from this point of view. If the answer to the question, does Jesus Christ save everyone, is yes, if the answer to that question is yes, then there's no reason for the Church of Christ to exist. Why bother existing as a church? Why bother preaching the Word of God? Why bother doing mission work as God's people? Why bother witnessing to others if in the end everyone's going to be saved anyway? And we're just wasting our time and effort. So you can see that the error that says Jesus Christ saves everyone really says or must say there's no need, therefore, for the church, there's no need for the preaching, there's no need to witness to anyone. God, in the end, will save them all anyway. For the sake of the church, we need to know the answer to this question as well. But then thirdly, we need to know the answer to this question from a personal point of view. Perhaps especially that is important to each of us this morning. Because when it comes to considering whom the Lord Jesus Christ saves, because that's the question before us, who does he save? When it comes to considering that, every one of us wants to know and desires to know, am I one of those whom he saves? If I am, how can I know that I am? How can I be sure that I'm one of the ones that the Lord Jesus Christ saves through his death on the cross and through the work of his Spirit in those whom he has redeemed? So with those reasons in mind for our consideration of this truth of the Word of God, we look at this Lord's Day under the theme, what is true faith? What is true faith? And we'll notice three things: the bond of faith, the knowledge of faith, and the confidence of faith. Are all men saved? No. No. The Lord Jesus Christ does not save all men. The Lord Jesus Christ is not the mediator of all men. If he were, then everyone would end up in the end in heaven. Because if he were the Savior of all men, he as the Almighty Son of God would accomplish what he purposes to do. And he would save all men. But we know that not everyone ends up in heaven. There are many who perish eternally in hell. The Bible teaches that. The Bible shows us in many different places that there are those already who are experiencing the torments of hell. They are not in heaven. The Bible teaches us concerning the reality of hell as the place of God's eternal judgment. Jesus Christ does not save all men. He doesn't. And so we confess in the words of this Lord's Day that he saves only some. Only some. And who are those that he saves? He saves only those, according to question and answer 20, who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. That's what sets them apart from everyone else whom he does not save. Those whom he saves are those who are engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. They receive all the benefits of Christ and all of this by a true faith. Whom does he save? We could say he saves those who believe. Faith distinguishes them as those
who are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ.
What the Catechism is teaching here, especially in answer 20, is what faith is, first of all. When you and I think of faith, we're probably inclined to think of faith as, well, that's believing something. Faith is an activity. Then if I have faith, I say, I believe in God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in things that the Word of God teaches me. I believe in things that I cannot see, but nevertheless, I believe them because God tells me those things are true. Well, it is true. That's what faith says. But that's not what faith is in the first place, first of all. Faith is, first of all, a bond that joins us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's pointed out here, especially in that word, engrafted. We are engrafted into Christ by faith. We are joined to Christ by means of faith. Faith is, you could say, the glue that joins me to Jesus Christ, so that I'm connected to Christ and receive from Christ everything that I need as a believer, as one of His children. Now, Lord Jesus Christ speaks of that bond that joins us to Christ in John chapter 15. We read that chapter where Christ speaks of Himself as the vine and as all of us, His people, as the branches. So He's the vine. You could say He is the trunk of the tree. And we are the branches that go out from the trunk of that tree. And how are we, as branches, joined to that vine? That connection is faith. Faith joins us to the trunk of the tree, which is Christ. Faith binds us to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When a branch is connected to the trunk of a tree, it gets life from that tree. It gets food from that tree. If that branch is broken off and lying on the ground, it will die. And so we, as God's people, joined to Christ by faith, have life. And we get everything that we need from the tree, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. By nature, of course, we were branches that were connected to a different tree, the tree of the human race that had fallen into sin. The tree, you could say, the trunk of which was the devil. And so we were connected to a tree that was dead, spiritually dead. And Christ, by His work of salvation, took us off that tree and now connects us to the tree that is Himself. And that connection is faith. Faith is the glue that joins us to our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we joined to Him? Because He does it. That has to be very clear to us right from the outset, that faith is not something that we produce ourselves. We do not join ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not choose Him. We do not unite ourselves to Him. But the Scriptures and the Catechism, as it presents the truth of the Word of God, makes clear that this is the work of the Almighty Sovereign God. That's clear from the word engrafted. Just as is true in an orchard, if a branch is taken from one tree and engrafted into another tree, the branch didn't do that itself. Someone else did it. Someone took that branch. Someone joined that branch to the other tree from which it will now get its life's sap and food and nourishment. So also with the work of salvation. When we are joined to Christ, God
joins us to his Son. The word engrafted makes very clear that we are passive, not active. We're not doing something, but we are passive. And God sovereignly does the work of joining us to his Son. And that's clear too from John chapter 15, verse 2. Notice that the subject here of the action is the Father, God. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And now, verse 2 describes what the Father does. Not what we do as branches, but what the Almighty God does. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. See, it's obviously the work of Almighty God. So that's what faith is, first of all. A spiritual connection that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. You can compare it, perhaps, to a pipeline. In our homes, we have water. We get that water from the tap. We turn on the faucet, un grifo, and we have water. It comes out of the tap. Now, how does that water get to our house? Well, there's a pipeline that connects that water to a tank. And you could say that that's how it is for us. We, as believers, are connected to Christ. Christ is the reservoir. He has in himself all that we need for our spiritual life. He earned for us all the riches and blessings of salvation on the cross. And now there's a pipeline between him and us. That pipeline is faith. Faith connects us to our Lord Jesus Christ. You could also compare it to an electrical wire. We have light in this building. We turn on the switch, and we have light. How does that light get here? Well, there's an electrical wire that runs all the way to the electrical plant, the power plant, where the electricity is produced. And so it is with faith. We're connected to Christ. Christ is, you could say, the power plant for our spiritual life. And faith joins us to him, and through that pipeline, or through that electrical wire, we receive everything that we need from Christ. And that's exactly what results from this bond of faith to Christ. We receive things from him. We receive life from him. We were by nature dead in trespasses and sins. And anyone else, and anyone at all who does not have faith is dead. Dead in the blindness and darkness of unbelief. But because we are connected to Christ, we have life. He is the source of our life. As verse 5 of John 15 says, without me ye can do nothing. Without Christ we are dead. Without Christ we can do no good. But because we are connected to him, branches joined to the vine, we have life. But not only do we have life, but we have also, as the Catechism mentions, all his benefits. We need benefits from Christ. We need many, many benefits from Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He earned many benefits for his people, many blessings. And we have those by means of faith. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. We receive righteousness through our connection to Christ. We receive sanctification. We receive redemption. We receive the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of our sins, peace in our hearts. The Spirit comes to us. We have hope of eternal life, all those benefits, all those blessings that flow to us through the bond or connection of faith. Christ is the source of all the benefits of salvation that we need. We're not going to find them anywhere else. They all come from Christ. And what a blessing that bond of faith is then. Then the blessings of salvation are not just out there somewhere. Christ has them, and we know all about them. We know that when he died on the cross, he earned all kinds of blessings for us, but we don't have access to them. That's not how it is. But because of the bond of faith that joins us to Christ, those benefits come to us. Through that pipeline, through that electrical wire, we actually receive them, we actually experience them, we actually enjoy the blessings and benefits of salvation. And then also because of this bond of faith, we produce fruit. Notice that in John 15, abide in me, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So by means of this bond of faith we produce fruit. Why do you love God? Because you have this bond of faith that unites you to Christ, and Christ causes you to love God. Why do you come to church to worship God? Why do you produce that fruit in your life? Because you are joined to Christ by faith, and he works in you by his Spirit to give you the ability and the desire to worship him. Why do you obey God's commandments? Why do you say, I delight to do thy will, O God? Why do you strive to do what is pleasing to the Lord? Because you are joined to Christ by faith, and Christ works in you by his Spirit to do the things that are pleasing to God. Why are you a humble person? Humble so that every day of your life, at the end of the day, you bow down before God and you confess your sins. And you say, Lord, I have sinned. Forgive my sins, O Lord. Why do you do that? Because you are joined to Christ by faith. And he works in your heart and life to make you humble, to make you see your sin, and to confess those sins before God. We love as God, as Christ loves. We live as Christ lives. We love what Christ loves. We do the things that Christ would do. By the grace of God, on account of that bond, that connection to Christ, that gives us this new spiritual life, we live a Christ-like life as the people of God. We produce fruit. Without me, Christ says, ye can do nothing. But we have Christ because of this bond of faith. And so we produce fruit. But secondly, as regards the question, what is true faith? Secondly, faith is an activity that is characterized by a certain knowledge. So first of all, faith is a bond that joins us to Christ. Now we consider that faith is the activity of having a certain knowledge, a sure knowledge. Now that teaches us something about faith.
that is often misunderstood. Sometimes when people talk about faith, they think of faith as being merely feelings, or emotions. But that's not faith. Faith is not some kind of mysterious, internal sense that you have that you are saved, but you don't really know anything and you cannot really explain it. Faith is not that you can say, well, I believe this and I believe that and I believe that as well, but you have no idea what it is that you believe. When the Word of God speaks to us about faith, and the Catechism here gives us a summary of what the Word of God teaches us concerning faith, we understand this. Faith is, first of all, knowledge. One who has faith knows things. One who has faith is not ignorant, but is knowledgeable. Let's look at a few verses in the Word of God that make that very clear. First of all, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews 11, as you know, is a chapter of Scripture that speaks concerning faith and mentions the Old Testament heroes of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 3 makes very clear that faith is knowledge. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the child of God who has faith does not simply say, well, I believe God created everything, but I don't know how, I cannot say anything more about it. That's it, I just believe it. No, the true child of God who has true faith says, I know about this, I have an understanding of this. I understand how God made this world. I understand many things concerning how God made this world. I understand when God made it, about 6,000 years ago. I understand how God made it, simply by speaking the Word. I understand from what God made it, from nothing He created the heavens and the earth. I understand how long it took God to make it, 6 days of 24 hours. I understand why God made the heavens and the earth and everything in them, for His own glory. There are many things that I know and that I understand about God's work of creation. It's not just, well, I believe it, but I don't know anything about it. But faith understands. Faith is knowledge. Another verse is 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at that as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Here, the Word of God very clearly shows us that faith is knowledge. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. And then notice this, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul says, I know Him. I know the God whom I have believed. I know the Lord Jesus Christ whom I have believed and in whom I trust. I'm not ignorant of them. I know many, many things concerning God and concerning Christ. And that knowledge is an integral part of my faith, of my belief. And then there is also John chapter 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. John 17:3, which says this, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Knowledge. We know God. We know Jesus Christ whom God has sent. Faith consists of knowledge. And that points us, of course, to what one knows. What does one know? When he has this knowledge of faith, he knows God, and he knows Christ, and he knows himself to be a sinner, and he knows the gospel, the good news of salvation that God has given us in his word. The Catechism points us to what someone knows and must know when it says that we know these things. What do we know? We know that salvation is not only for others, but also for me. What do we know? We know that we have remission of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation. And we have that all of grace only for the sake of Christ's merits. And what else do we know? Really, you could say we know the Word of God. That's what we know. That's where the knowledge of faith is focused. You could say the Bible is the object of our faith. When you say, "I know things by faith," you say, "I know the Word of God. I know everything that God has revealed to us in the Gospel." Question and answer 22. And the Word of God is that you must know these things. These are the things that one who has true faith must know and acknowledge. These are the things that it is necessary for someone who says he has faith to believe. And the summary is given here in the Apostles' Creed. You want to know what you ought to believe? And the Apostles' Creed gives you that summary. That's the knowledge of faith. Two things briefly concerning that knowledge. First of all, it is a heart knowledge. A knowledge that we have in our hearts. It's not just a head knowledge. That does no one any good. There can be all kinds of unsaved people. Unsaved, learned, well-studied professors in colleges and universities. They might know the Bible very well. They maybe have studied it, studied the Bible like they study other books. They know it inside and out, but it's just in the head. That doesn't do anyone any good. Not at all. So our knowledge is not just knowing about things, not just having a head knowledge, not just being able to explain things to others, but the knowledge that the child of God has is a heart knowledge, a certain knowledge that is in my heart. It's a personal knowledge. That's really what we mean by a heart knowledge. When we say, "I have faith, and by faith I know God," then we are saying, "I know God personally. I know him as my God, as my Father in Jesus Christ, as the God who directs my life, as the God who controls all things for my advantage and for my salvation." This heart knowledge means this too, that when we talk about our knowledge of sin, then we say, "I know sin personally. I know my own personal sins." When the Bible instructs me concerning sin, when the Word of God in the Ten Commandments, for example, puts before me what God requires, and I see that those sins and those commandments are broken, I'm not thinking about other
people who break those commandments, but I see my own sin. I have a personal knowledge of sin. And then, of course, a personal knowledge of my need of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, so that I know He is my Lord, my Jesus, my Christ, my Savior, my friend. It's a personal knowledge that we have. And secondly, it is a certain knowledge. True faith does not doubt. True faith does not have all kinds of questions. True faith, when it takes the Bible as the object of its faith and of what it knows and believes, does not say, well, it might be true, but it might not be true. Some of it's true, but some of it's not true, or might not be true, or I believe some of it very confidently, but there are other things I'm not very sure about. That's not true faith. But true faith says, I have a certain, a sure knowledge of what the Bible teaches. My faith is not easily shaken. There might be all kinds of other people that try to deny what the Bible says. There might be scientists who try to disprove what the Bible teaches. But my faith is not shaken by those things. I'm not disturbed either when others mock me for what I say I know and believe. I'm not troubled and I'm not in despair when afflictions come my way in life. My knowledge is sure, confident, 100% sure that everything that God has given me in the Bible is true. The truth of God Himself. That's the kind of knowledge that one who has true faith has. Believes what God says, recognizes the Bible as the Word of God, and does not doubt what the Scriptures teach. Then thirdly, as regards what true faith is, we learn this, that faith is also an assured confidence. An assured confidence. Now this confidence is tied to knowledge. The two go hand in hand. You have to have knowledge in order to have confidence. Knowledge comes first, and then built on that is our confidence, our assurance. Think, for example, how can you be confident that all things work together for your good, as the Word of God teaches us in Romans 8, verse 28, if you did not know that God is sovereign and in absolute control? And if you did not know that God in Christ loves you and desires your eternal good. You have to know things in order to be confident of things. You have to know that God is sovereign. How can you be sure, to cite another example, how can you be sure that you will be saved in the end? When you die, you will go to heaven if you were not knowledgeable of the truth that your salvation is the sovereign work of God and not dependent on yourself. If you did not know that God is absolutely sovereign in the work of salvation, that He chooses those whom He saves, that He provides the Savior for them, that He works in them by His Holy Spirit so that they are brought to a saving faith in Him. If you did not know all those things, You could not be sure that when you die, you will go to heaven. Your confidence is built upon the knowledge that you have of the truth of the Word of God.
And that means this as well. That means the more that you know, the stronger will be your confidence.
The more you know, the stronger will be your confidence. That's why the child of God takes very seriously the admonition of the scriptures in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 verse 18.
But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in knowledge. Why does the child of God desire to grow in knowledge? So that he can have a stronger confidence in his heart and soul concerning his salvation. We're not satisfied as people of God with just a shallow knowledge. The child of God wants and strives to know as much as possible from the Word of God, and that knowledge then forms the basis, the foundation of a confidence that we have in our hearts concerning these truths. What a blessing, therefore, that confidence is. What can we be confident of? The Catechism mentions the things that we can be confident of. The child of God can confess this. He can say, I am sure that salvation and the blessings of salvation are not only for other people, but also for me. Also for me. And I am sure that my sins are forgiven. Not just other people's sins are forgiven, but mine. My own. I am sure that I have everlasting righteousness and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am sure that God sees me, in His Son, as someone who is without sin. I am sure that I have eternal life. I am confident that I am an heir of heaven and will live forever in the glories that await the people of God in heaven. I am sure that I am a child of God. I am sure that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confidence. A blessed confidence that is given us by God. And all of this bond of faith, this knowledge of faith, and therefore also this confidence of faith, is something that we have, and something that we can be sure of, and something that can give comfort to us as God's people for only one reason. One reason. Because it is the gift and work of Almighty God. Why do you believe? Why do you have faith? Why are you joined to Christ? Why do you have knowledge? Why are you confident of your salvation? Because God, by His almighty work, has given you the gift of faith. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. That faith is not your own work. That faith is not of yourself. That faith is not something that you and I produce. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God.
is the gift of God. It is God's gift to us. Every aspect of faith is God's gift. Faith as that bond, that pipeline, that electrical wire, that glue that joins us to Christ is God's gift and God's work. Faith as that certain knowledge I have in my head not only, but also in my heart, is God's gift and God's work. And faith is that confidence, that assurance I have that salvation is mine, and I have eternal life, and I have forgiveness, and I have the hope of heaven is mine because of God's gift and God's work in my heart. And that's what makes faith permanent. You have faith as a child of God today, you will never lose it. You will never lose it. Once a child of God, always a child of God. Once a believer, always a believer. It's true that in our life we sometimes go through valleys of doubt. Our faith is weak, and we are guilty of the sin of unbelief. But if God has given us the gift of faith, we will always have it. And we will always be joined to Christ. And Christ will restore us again and restore our faith again and bring us up out of those valleys of doubt and unbelief and strengthen us through His Word and by His Spirit so that our faith is strong and we are confident of Him and His love. Nothing can take us away from Christ because it's God's work that joins us to Christ. If it was our work to join ourselves to Christ, then you would say, yes, it's not going to last. It's not going to last even 1 minute if it's up to me to join myself to Him and to keep myself joined to Him. But because it's the almighty work of God, we can be sure that it is permanent and nothing will ever separate us from God and from Christ. What a blessing it is then for us to have faith and to be able to say these things, to be able to say them as we face many troubles and struggles in life, to be able to confess as we even near the end of earthly life and face eternity. I have faith. I am joined to Christ. I have knowledge. I have confidence. May we nurture our faith by use of the means that God has given us to do that. Especially nurturing, feeding, and strengthening our faith by means of the Word of God. The Word of God that is preached especially, and the Word of God that we study and meditate upon every day. That will keep us strong in our faith. What a great gift. May we be thankful to God for the gift of faith. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy Word to us and for the truth concerning faith as the almighty gift and work of Thee, the Lord our God, in our hearts and lives. Thou continue always to strengthen that faith, to keep us strong in Thee, the Lord our God, and strong in our faith in Thy Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.